Hi, everyone. Welcome to Two Out the First. It's September 13th, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you with us. It's been a while since we've done a show. We've been on a 10-day bender in Ireland, which hopefully you'd like to hear about on the 19th Hole Golf Show. We did the first part of that trip breakdown on the show yesterday that just came out. So if you want to check that out, it'd be great. But today we're going to talk about a couple of stories as we get ready for the Fortinet Championship, the BMW PGA Championship, Solheim Cup, Ryder Cup, lots to get ready for. We are presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out at Swannies, SWANNIES.co. They make great gear that we wear when we do the visual versions of the show, the video versions of the show, and all of our news video content throughout the year. Use the promo code GolfNewsNet25, GolfNewsNet25 at Swannies.co, and get in with some great looking gear, lots of performance prints, many made with Reprieve fabric, which is a recycled fabric, which is great. They have t-shirt hoodies that are awesome. Their hoodies in general are just spectacular. Check them out at swannies.co. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the FedEx Cup fall. We finally have it here. It starts with the Fortinet Championship. We've got seven tournaments, and it's spread out over basically 2.5 months. Really 2 months, because from when the tournament starts tomorrow until the RSM Classic, which is the final event of the series, starts, it's basically 2 months. There's multiple breaks. There's a two-week break. There's a break for the Ryder Cup 1 week, and then an actual week off. There's another break in there, and that's in part because some of the tournaments moved, right? The Houston Open's no longer part of the fall, and the CJ Cup is now the Byron Nelson, basically. So those two tournaments are out. So now it's not a 9-tournament fall. It's a 7-tournament fall. And we have the format, so we know what the players who are competing in these events are trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish and how they're going to do it. So here's how it all works. The FedEx Cup fall is basically designed to identify the top 125 players in FedEx Cup points, and those players are the ones that keep their cards or regain cards or whatever for next year, and those players then guarantee themselves entry into every single full field event, and then they get into the Players' Championship as well. So everyone who missed the playoffs, they're in, right? Everybody outside the top 70, they're in, and they're vying to get into the final top 125. Also, the players who didn't get into the BMW Championship. So every player who got in the BMW Championship is in every event they want to play that's on the PGA Tour schedule that they run. So they're not in all the majors, but they're, if you got in the top 30, you're in everything. But if you're in the top 50, you're in all the signature events. You're probably in some majors. You're in all of the regular events. You pretty much set your schedule as you'd like. However, if you're 51st through 70th, you don't have that. You have your status. You have your tour card. But beyond that, you don't really have any additional benefits over the players who missed the playoffs. So for those players, and really the others involved, they're all thrown together in a single pool, and not only are you trying to finish in the top 125, which is fine, but you're also trying to finish inside the top 10 of the players who finished worse than 50th in FedEx Cup points. So hypothetically 51st through 60th, but really it's 1 through 10 on this list. By that I mean that top 10 will be determined by the regular season points list from the FedEx Cup, any players who qualified for the FedEx St. Jude Championship, they get their points from that tournament added on to their tally. That's what they start with to begin the fall. And then regular points distribution for FedEx Cup events through the seven events. Add all those points together. Top 10 on that list that are not otherwise exempt get into the first two mainland United States signature events next year. Those two are Pebble Beach and Riviera. The Century has its own field. That is kind of a super limited field type thing. So that will just stay what it is. Even though it's technically a signature event, it has its own entry criteria. So if you didn't get into the BMW Championship, but you did get in the playoffs, you have a head start, play well enough times, you're going to get into those first two $20 million events. You want that opportunity. So that's what you're looking for there. That's your carrot if you're Yeah, that there's a carry there. So then you've got, again, that top 125 number. Everyone who finishes outside of that, you're probably trying to go to Q school. So they're trying to create funnels on funnels on funnels. So if you finish 126 to 150, there's still that category out there that you're going to get a fair number of starts. I don't think any of that's changing, but you could improve that, I guess. If you got really bad, if you're 151 or worse, you go into Q school. The guys who graduate from the Corn Ferry Tour in a few weeks, they're in their second playoff event now, or their second finals event right now. The guys who graduate after that fourth one will not be able to play automatically in these PGA Tour events. They'll have to Monday qualify or find another way in, sponsor exemption way in. So this is just meant for PGA Tour players. Same is true for like DP World Tour players, because they are top 10 otherwise will get PGA Tour cards for the next season. So they have something to play for in the DP World Tour. Corn Ferry Tour's got their thing. They're segmented out. It's all kind of siloed in a way that I don't think it really was before. I kind of like it. It makes sense to me. We've got the fall. You know, every stage has a carrot. We talked about this with the playoffs. Every playoff stage finally had a carrot. Now you've got a carrot here for the fall. Not just, okay, you keep your card, but maybe you can get into some $20 million events. Now for the top 50 players, they have absolutely zero reason to play in any of these, except for someone like Max Homa, who's playing this week as the two-time defending champion of the Fortinet Championship. So he's playing because he's a good guy and wants to defend his title. Yes, the Ryder Cup's coming up. Yeah, they had their scouting trip over the weekend or whatever, but he wants to defend his title. So he's going to be there. There are four top 50 players competing this week. Homa, Justin Thomas, who's here more or less as a make good mea culpa type thing, and maybe get a little action for the ahead of the Ryder Cup. Sahith Theegala and Cam Davis. There's your top 50 players who are competing this week. That's worse than last year. Last year was a little bit higher, but pretty similar. I mean, you will not find a field this fall where there are probably double digits top 50 players competing. I think it's going to be a lot like this, where most weeks it's going to be five, maybe, players. And that's just going to be the way that it is. And that's what the tour is comfortable with that. They understand that ratings fell by like 30% last fall. They'll probably fall even more. They will probably be a little bit worse, even. Probably even down 10-20% from last year. Because you won't even have like the one draw tournament like they did in the fall, which was the CJ Cup. Well, that's now the Byron Nelson. So there's not even like that $10, $11 million event out there in the fall that gets everyone to play. They have the Zozo Championship still in Japan. Limited field thing, but you're not going to get a great field for that to go to Japan. You probably just won't. I mean, you might get eight or nine top 50 players for that, but I don't imagine you're going to see more than that. Frankly, I still think it'd be high if you got that many. So the fall is what it is. We've got seven tournaments to figure this all out. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully it uncovers some new stars, new stories. It has in the past. I mean, last year you had Taylor Montgomery come out and play great. Really set up his entire year based on the first nine events and then a couple in the beginning of the year and then just kind of fell off the planet. So I would say we'll see. You know what? But I am kind of excited about this because we know what now the fall is back to what we know what it is. We know what the prizes are. There's no head start in a season, which I didn't like that idea of the top players want to rest, so they're behind. I didn't think that was I didn't think it was an unfair thing. I just didn't agree with it. And I think it created for an awkward situation where you have like the first few telecasts of the year and then you're like, oh yeah, so-and-so is 99th and FedEx got points because they've only played one event while 100 other people who desperately need the head start have already played all of them. That didn't rack up very well for me. So maybe it'll be a little bit easier now. You still get into the Masters if you win these full field events. That's a good thing. I think that will continue to be honored because you're still going to have really high-class players competing in these things. So there's that piece of it. And, yeah, a lot of wait and see, I guess. But at least in concept, and it could be bad in execution, but at least in concept, I like what I'm seeing from the FedEx Cup fall. All right, so let's talk about the second story for today, which is the BMW PGA Championship and the contrast to the Fortinet Championship. So the Fortinet Championship we talked about kicks off this FedEx Cup fall. You've got four top 50 players. You've got two players from the U.S. Ryder Cup team who are competing, Max Homa, Justin Thomas. Max Homa's competing because he's the two-time defending champion. Justin Thomas is competing because they kind of winked and nodded and said, hey, if you make this team, you need to play once in the fall. So would you do that, Kay? Thanks. And that's why he's playing. Meanwhile, on the DP World Tour, they're playing their flagship event this week, which is the BMW PGA Championship. It's at Wentworth. It's a $9 million tournament. 14 or 15 of the world top 50 are competing. And every single player on the European Ryder Cup team is competing this week. And I think there's a contrast to be drawn there of probably an overstated one, but it's one that's hard to miss, right? You've got every single player, all 12 from the European side competing together this week. And one, it makes sense because it's way easier to go from England to Italy than it is to go from the United States to Italy to practice. And both teams were there recently, in the last few days, to go get some practice rounds in at Marco Simone. To then fly back to the States, chill out for a week, or fly wherever you got to fly. I'm not saying everyone's just flew home, but fly where you got to fly. And Spieth didn't even come because he's about to be a dad for the second time. His wife's about to give birth to another child. So there was that piece of it. Rory McIlroy, for his part, was also on a what they call a stag do, bachelor party, over in Greece, and just kind of made a stopover. So that'll be interesting. But you've got this contrast, right? And it was brought up on Tuesday at the Fortinet Championship because Zach Johnson, who's the U.S. Ryder Cup captain, is playing in the tournament. One of his assistants, Stuart Sink, is also playing. And for what it's worth, Luke Donald, two-time champion of the BMW PGA Championship, has been playing. Played pretty well last week, actually, I thought, at the K Club for the Irish Open, where I was on Thursday. And he's part of the action. Thomas Bjorn, guys had a lot of hand in the Ryder Cup team selection last few times out. He's competing this week in the BMW PGA Championship. So part of it is why aren't all the Americans playing in the Fortinet? Why are they showing some kind of sign of force or whatever? I don't think that's necessary. It's a little bit different in terms of the recruitment process and what it means to make the team in Europe because the DP World Tour owns the largest percentage of the European side of the Ryder Cup. There are other bodies that own a piece of it, PGA of Great Britain, PGA of Europe. They own small pieces. But the DP World Tour basically sets all the rules, and you got to be a DP World Tour member. So part of the gist here is if you make the team for Europe, you need to support the DP World Tour because the Ryder Cup basically funds the DP World Tour's operations for a couple of years, especially the home ones. So you got to keep that in mind. A little bit different expectation. PGA Tour does not have a piece of the Ryder Cup. PGA of America owns the American side of it in full. They don't share it with the PGA Tour. Now, interestingly enough, if this Saudi thing happens and all of this stuff comes together into a single holding company, then the PGA Tour, by absorbing the DP World Tour, which is what they intend to do in the next couple of years, by absorbing that, they will own the DP World Tour's piece, which means they'll own the European side, which would be kind of weird. But then that maybe makes for some changes. I don't know, some negotiation about how the players compete and what they compete in once they make the teams. But for this week, that is not the case. And who knows if that deal gets done. There's been radio silence about a lot of this stuff recently. Basically, since June the 6th. I mean, it's been 3 months and a week. And I don't think anyone really knows how or where this deal is. And there's still basically 3 months and 2 weeks to go until the supposed end of this agreement to agree, the framework. But nevertheless. So Zach Johnson's in the field of the Fortinet. And of course, one of the pressing questions is, well, what will you take away from this week based on how Max Homa and Justin Thomas play. And Stuart Sink, who is part of this news conference, said, quote, "I think it's inevitable that whatever Max and JT do this week will be overstated to the good or to the bad. I hope they both win. I don't think that's possible, but I hope they both win. That would be great for the confidence alone. Just for us, internally, we hope that they have confidence coming out of this week, and that would be a great thing. Other than that, we just don't look at results from 1 week. You just can't do that. It's not a good enough sample size," which he is correct about. "You're not going to take somebody out of a pairing or put somebody in a pairing based on one tournament 7,000 miles away from Rome," end quote. And all of that is absolutely right. Sink has the right perspective. And that's the reason why JT made this team. They're not trying to take a bad summer and say, okay, well, that is bigger than your Ryder Cup record. Can you agree with that? Maybe. Can you disagree with that? Maybe. That's your perspective. But that's where they're coming from. So it makes sense for then Sink to say, well, if JT plays poorly this week, what's the difference? Because we aren't going to change our strategy. Our strategy is to put Justin Thomas, they're not saying this, our strategy is to put Justin Thomas with Jordan Spieth and let him go out there and wreck some European dudes, and hopefully that works. That's what they're trying to do. So that strategy is not changing whether JT finishes T5 or misses the cut. It's just not. How often they might put them out or when they might debut them, maybe that can change. But then you've got to see how everybody coalesces in those practice rounds in Europe, because it really is a different atmosphere. It just is different. I don't even know how to better explain it than that. Other than, you know, I've been to one Ryder Cup, 2016, at Hazeltine. That's a home one. This will be the first time me seeing team matches outside of the United States, both Solheim and Ryder. And the atmosphere is just a little bit more collegial, a little bit more relaxed. The teams practice together, so they're trying to keep themselves together. The Europeans practice together, so there's kind of a little bit of a separation. So it's friendly faces. You guys are trying to get to know or get on the same page with and stuff like that. And that's really the whole point of the practice stuff. So you have to see how that works. Don't think so much about what Justin Thomas is trying to do this week. He's going to be under a ton of pressure anyway this week and Ryder Cup week. So all of that from Sink makes sense. Homa, I'm not really worried about whatsoever. He's been playing great golf for 3 months. As an American fan, obviously an American person, from that perspective, I think he's fine. I think his teammate is Colin Morikawa. That's not going to change regardless of what happens this week. And I assume that's kind of the pairings. So the impact of what Homa does here as the two-time defending champion really is nil. I mean, it's kind of hard to win a tournament 3 times in a row. Not many people have done that in the history of the PGA Tour. So for Homa, the goal this week is just to be a good ambassador. Just play some decent golf, miss the cut. That's okay. It is okay. He wants to play well, obviously, but get on that plane a little bit sooner. Maybe it's not so bad. I don't know. I don't think you should take a whole lot of stock from this week, but there is going to be a lot of stock to be taken from what Justin Thomas does this week. He hasn't played competitive golf in a month because he missed the FedEx Cup playoffs, right? So if he had been playing, maybe you'd have a better idea of what he would be up to. But you don't know what he's been doing in terms of preparation. You probably have a decent idea that he's better than most of the players in this field. And the betting market kind of prices it as such. But if you look at the 5 appearances before missing the playoffs, he had 1 finish better than 60th place. And he missed 3 cuts in that span. He tried to get into the playoffs through the Wyndham. And he made a good run. I think that might have been the nadir, was, all right, man, you're going to miss the playoffs? Like, you're not even in the top 70 of this tour? Maybe that was kind of the butt kicker that he needed. I don't know. I'm not pretending to know. We'll find out today. He talks to the media on Wednesday. But Zach Johnson seemed to kind of have a fallback point of view. Hopefully, quote, hopefully they show some signs of great form. Not overly worried about that, concerned about that. It makes sense that JT is playing because he hasn't played much. Again, I'm not going to give their scorecard a whole lot of merit when it comes to what we're trying to do 2 weeks from now, end quote. And all fair reasons why. from what Zach Johnson has said. That said, of the two captains, I'm way more worried about Zach Johnson than Luke Donald. Just saying, the delivery of the captain's picks, that whole presentation was not good at all, not confidence inspiring whatsoever. So, yeah, you know, be worried about that to a degree. But then over on the other side of the ledger, you've got people who are questioning Shane Lowry, because Lowry played well in the Irish Open last week, gave himself a chance to win his National Open again, and there were some questions at Wentworth of, well, did you shove it up, you know, did you give the middle finger to some people who thought you shouldn't be on the team because you haven't been playing well lately? And his answer was pretty simple, which was, I wasn't playing well to stick it to somebody, but if that kind of shuts a few people up, hey, that's fine. But in terms of your liabilities concerns, Shane Lowry, for the European side, has to be way less of a concern compared to Justin Thomas on the American side. So what counts as a story, what counts as a liability this week is kind of interesting, and next week, and what we're looking for and why and who cares. I don't know. It's all relative. And again, it's a one-game scenario at the end of the day, and lots of things can happen among the best players in the world in one-game scenarios played over and over and over again in kind of random nature. So take from what you will, but I wouldn't take a whole lot from whatever happens this week by any of the players, by any of the 14 players of the 24 that are competing inside the ropes between the 24 on both teams. Wouldn't be too worried about it. All right, that's going to do it for us today on Two Off the First. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. If you catch us a podcast on a platform, let you do so. Leave us a 5-star review. Helps us reach more people. Be back with another show tomorrow. We'll be getting ready to go to Spain. My wife and I are going as part of this trip. We're going to leave on September the 20th in the middle of the afternoon. We'll do a little show before that. And then we head over to Madrid, take the train to Malaga, and then the journey begins to see the Solheim Cup. We'll stop over in Munich for Oktoberfest. If you have any tips on that, I'll happily take it. Get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram @RyanBallenge. And we'll be at the Ryder Cup in Rome. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.